Marzipan, A New Hope, Part 4. Chapter 8, Day 365,275,973. Only by being on her own for eternity did Marzipan realize that loneliness truly was hell. And the lonelier she got, the more the beautiful world lost its colour. More than once did Marzipan go looking for an exit to her mind. There were no doors to be found, no trials to be completed, no escape. She had tried many things to escape. She had tried crawling through the Sphinx, but there was just a dead end. She had tried thinking up a door, which had worked, but the door was just a door. She was running out of ideas. The most peaceful place in her mind was the lake, showing everything she had ever seen. This one time, she found herself just staring at it.
Then she noticed something.
It showed
she
her clips of her life
before.
Randomly. Underlaying all of the clips was a huge, translucent image of herself. She closed one eye and watched as a huge image closed an eye as well. It was a giant reflection of herself. Ignoring the still-going clips, she stared at the reflection's eyes. They were clear and looked into the lake. This might be a breakthrough. She held her breath and dived in. The water was cool and clear, and Marzipan felt alive again. Colour flooded back into the world. Back in the lake, Marzipan saw a door at the bottom. She could leave. There was a wooden sign above the door saying, "Only one may pass." Not a problem then, there was only one of her. She opened it and caught a glimpse of the outside world. Her parents, Caliph, Mr. Runnings. She was about to enter when a cry reached her ear. Marzipan turned her head to see where the cry had come from, and there to her left was a drowning baby. She swam over to it and grabbed it. Swimming up to the surface, she tried to place it on the ground, but the lake surface had turned into diamond. Then she understood. Without hesitation, she swam to the door and placed the baby through. She was about to die, but at least she had done the right thing. The door closed and locked. Marzipan began to choke and suffocate. Things became dim. Then everything went black. Chapter 9, A Father's Choice. Everyone in the garden was shocked when Marzipan awoke after just 4 minutes of being in the trials. She was lying on her back when she gasped back into life. She saw her dad and hugged him as hard as she could. Then she told him off. "Don't you ever make me do that again!" she shouted at him, tears in her eyes.
"I won't, I promise," he cried as well. "But you did it. You've completed the trials and you've made me so proud as well."
"Why?"
"Because, my beautiful, clever daughter, you've just completed your acceptance celebration faster than anyone in the history of mankind."
This was so strange. Her father was praising her for passing the trials without using magic.
"You failed!"
shouted Mr. Runnings.
"No, she hasn't. You saw yourself she completed the trials,"
shouted her father back at him.
"She didn't use any magic."
"Yes, she did. I felt her magical presence."
"No, Mr. Featherbanks. You felt a magical presence, not hers."
"What does it matter? She completed the trials, she did what was needed of her, and she'll be staying here."
Mr. Runnings stared hard at him, and then said calmly,
"Mr. Featherbanks, your daughter may well have completed the trials, but I am your boss, and unless you submit, you will lose your job and your daughter."
Marzipan was worried. What would her father do? He paused and said nobly,
"Well, I choose my daughter."
He stared hard at Mr. Runnings.
"Then you have made a powerful enemy. The committee will hear about this," he roared and stormed off.
"Oh, Daddy, thank you,"
Marzipan cried and hugged him.
"I really thought you would choose your job."
"Never," he finished. "Now go and help your mum tidy up."
It was about 8 o'clock when Marzipan finished tidying up, and it was getting dark outside. Most people had left and gone home, but there was still Caliph. Marzipan walked into the living room and sat down next to him. "Well done," he said. She remained silent. "I knew that you could do it," he spoke again, trying to get her to talk. "They didn't make me swear in magic," she said. Caliph looked down at his feet.
"You lied to me. Why?"
"I don't know," he said meekly.
"You're lying to me again. Why couldn't you tell me there were 4 trials?
Caliph hesitated. "Have you told anyone else how many tasks you completed?"
"No. I thought everyone did 4.
"I didn't lie, Seer. Most, maybe all people only do 3 tasks.
Why you do four is a complete mystery.
Mazapan fell silent.
Why did she have to do four tasks? What was so different about her?
Look, I'm tired, and if you don't mind, I'm going to bed, she said sleepily.
Mazapan yawned and walked upstairs. She went into her room and got into bed, still fully dressed.
Chapter 10 The Chase. Mazapan was shaken awake by her mother at about 5 in the morning.
Mazapan, wake up, she said softly.
Mazapan opened her eyes.
Well done, honey. Now quick, get dressed in something practical.
Why?
Said Mazapan sleepily.
You're going on a drive. Your dad will explain. Now get ready.
Mazapan got out of bed and stuck on a pair of jeans, a t-shirt, an old coat and a pair of trainers.
Good. Now Dad's waiting in the car. Go, go!
Mazapan opened her door and leapt down the stairs. She yanked open the front door and ran outside to the car. Her dad opened the door for her and she got in. Then they drove, past houses and pubs and out of their village of Cattlebury.
I've never left the village before, said Mazapan. It's almost sad. Now where are we going?
Her father sighed, then looked at her sadly.
Mr. Runnings has ordered the local authorities to seize you and take you to a workhouse. He's arriving at our house later today, he said. So your mother and I have decided to get you out of the village before he arrives.
But where will I go?
We've been hearing rumours of a nation that allows non-magic users, so you're going there.
Mazapan nodded. This was quite a lot to take in. She would never see her family again, or her friends, or Caliph. Her father continued.
I'm taking you to Dover, where you'll get a boat to Africa. There, one of our friends will take you to the new nation. I'm sorry, Mars, but this is the only way.
They both became silent for the rest of the way.
This wasn't fair. Mr. Runnings would pay for this one day. Even if she had to hunt him to the end of the earth, when she was ready, she would get him.
Marzi? Marzi? Mazapan!
Shouted her father.
Oh, good, you're awake.
When did I fall asleep?
She asked.
About 2 hours ago. Now listen, we've got company.
Mazapan looked outside. They were on a bumpy track, with 2 large trucks on their tail.
Who are they?
She asked.
The committee and the governor. Perhaps a few soldiers. I don't know how they found us, but it's even more crucial that we get to Dover quickly.
The man in the passenger seat behind them had pulled out a gun and started shooting. Mazapan ducked.
Why are they shooting? I thought they only wanted to take me into a workhouse.
She looked again. The man in the passenger seat was Mr. Runnings.
Guess who, Dad?
She shouted over the gunfire.
It's only Mr. Bloody Runnings.
Mazapan had had enough of him. He wanted her dead, probably always had, but why? Her dad was having to drive increasingly dangerously to avoid being shot.
Have we got anything to fight back with?
She shouted again. Her dad nodded.
There are some nails in the glove compartment. Throw them on the ground.
Mazapan opened up the compartment and grabbed a handful of the nails. The window was already smashed from the gunfire, so she threw them out. They landed in the dust. 5 seconds later, there was the sound of something bursting. Mazapan looked out of the window. Mr. Running's truck was still going, but the other was losing control. Mazapan watched as the driver let go of the wheel and the truck swung to the side and fell because it was moving so fast. Her dad punched the air.
Well done, Marzi,
he shouted. She smiled, but went back to a grimace as Mr. Runnings continued to shoot. The road was becoming increasingly dangerous to ride on. The car wasn't faring well. It was a city car, but the truck was faring worse due to its massive weight and size. The men inside were being thrown about like rag dolls. Suddenly her dad shouted,
We're going off-road!
What?
She shouted back. Too late though, as her father turned onto the grassy field. The truck followed as well, but was even worse than it was on the path. It bumped about even more and skidded around on the grass. Mr. Runnings couldn't aim and constantly missed. When they went into the next field, he shot a cow in the neck.
Poor thing,
said Mazapan to herself as she watched it keel over.
We need to lose them now, else I'll never get to that place you were talking about.
Then she saw it. About 1 mile ahead were the white cliffs of Dover. She pointed it out to her dad.
Yeah, okay, we can do it,
he said. The fields slowly became chalk flats and the ride became smooth. The cliff edge was getting closer. If they were going to send the truck off the edge, they'd have to do it quickly. 100 meters from the edge, the car braked. The truck, though, with its heavy weights, didn't brake fast enough, and carried on right over the cliff edge. 10 seconds later, a giant explosion reached their ears, and smoke drifted upwards.
Yee-haw!
Shouted Mazapan's dad embarrassingly, then stopped.
Oh dear lord, I've just killed my boss.
Marzipan worried. Would he start crying?
Thank God that bastard's dead.
He got out of the car and laid down on the grass.
I thought you worshipped your boss, she said.
Her dad sighed.
No, I hated him. When our old boss died, he took over. Mr. Runnings was strange, though. Had a magical air about him.
So do most people, though.
Yes, but Mr. Runnings was different. He was definitely more powerful than most magicians, like those of olden times.
So, what happened? Did he put you under a spell? She said, smiling.
Yes, in fact he did.
Marzipan stopped, smiling.
When he first came in, he had Pike's Dust with him.
Oh, I know about Pike's Dust. It's enchanted. It allows the user to manipulate whoever he blows it over. Once it sets, the user has a certain degree of control over the host.
She was pleased with her answer.
Is that what happened to you?
Her dad nodded.
Yes. When he came in, he took us all into his office throughout the day to interview us. But really, he just put us under the control of Pike's Dust, he said.
But if you were under his control, how were you able to drive me away?
When my willpower is strong enough, my magic is also stronger, as with everyone. So in a dire situation, it's able to overcome some things.
And Pike's Dust is one of those things, Marzipan said.
Yes.
She hugged her dad.
Thank you.
Hey, you're my daughter. I did what I had to do. Now come on, I'll take you to Dover.
Marzipan's Adventures in Paradise are not over yet. You'll soon see the next part.